figures Tony Wardwright.
Projected towards the end.
He's a lecturer, he's a columnist, and a newspaper.
Yeah, but I don't want to put that just to you, Tony. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd like to thank the Irish Senior Citizens Parliament for inviting me here to my surprise this evening. And I have to also acknowledge that the hallowed company I'm with, and I feel very inferior to all these ministers and TDs and, and MEPs here that have been speaking to you. Anyway, let's talk about this Lisbon Treaty. Like Frankenstein's monster, here it comes again. Once more, rising from the undead in its latest incarnation, having been thrice slain in referenda in France, in Holland, in Ireland. The 66 million French and Dutch voters were then, of course, simply bypassed to avoid any more pesky referenda by rewriting the Constitution and calling it a treaty. But our Constitution precludes such an elegant solution, so forces a second round on the same treaty. And while it's true there are some dubious-looking guarantees and assurances that have been obtained to address the five Irish concerns that are deemed polite enough to talk about, well, we've heard what they are. Ireland keeps its commission and control of its taxes. No innocent Irish lads will be conscripted as EU cannon fodder. Abortion won't be imposed. Workers' rights, public services will be protected. But fine as they are, since they're not copper-fastened into the treaty itself, they cannot be unchallengeable. They are surely less guarantees than assurances. Assurances that are, in fact, potentially target-rich assurances for future treaty lawyers. But in any case, they only nibble at the treaty's edges, and they studiously avoid what I would call its rotten core, to which so many people fundamentally object. And they kind of lead to four powerful reasons to vote no, and another four powerful reasons not to vote yes. Firstly, there's the abject dishonesty of having converted the readable, understandable, if internally contradictory, constitutional treaty into the Lisbon Reform Treaty, an interminable series of deliberately unreadable, incomprehensible amendments to two prior treaties, the Maastricht and the Rome, while otherwise retaining, as Mr. De Rossa said, 95% or so of all the content of the Constitution rejected by the Dutch and the French. We should recall the words of Belgium's then Foreign Minister, and indeed current EU Commissioner, just as of last month, Karel de Gucht, so honest in their dishonesty. The aim of this Lisbon Treaty, he said, is to be unreadable. The Constitution aimed to be clear, whereas this treaty had to be unclear. It is a success. A no vote is the only response to such utterly disgraceful shamelessness and trickery. The second powerful reason is similar but slightly different. Just as no rational person would dare sign a contract he or she couldn't understand, so no one should vote for a treaty without understanding it, a point many indeed have argued. But it still takes 13 hours to read the treaty's 272 turgid pages once. I've timed it. So what does this mean? It means that unless you have at least a spare week or so to thoroughly absorb it by reading it again and again, in conjunction with Rome, that's another 80 pages, and Maastricht, that's another 59 pages, and you don't like signing blank checks, no is the only rational way to vote. Now, across the EU, depending on your sources, something like 60 to 85% of all legislation already originates in Brussels. In recent times, new EU laws have been churned out at a rate of almost 2,000 per year, and they now stand at over 30,000. Yet the Lisbon Treaty demands even more. It would transfer over 100 new competencies from the national to the EU level, covering foreign, security, defence, trade, justice and economic policy. Moreover, another 60 plus EU mandated areas would move from unanimity to majority voting. And at the same time, as we've already heard, Ireland's voting power is going to be halved and Germany's, for example, is going to be doubled. So this reduces further the influence of individual nations, and especially small ones like this one. Indeed, these measures would represent the single largest transfer of powers from nations to Brussels in the history of the EU. Let me give you just one interesting little example. At present, for its money, the EU has to go cap in hand to individual states, and that's how it gets its funding. And of course, it doesn't enjoy that. Nobody likes asking for money. So, Lisbon empowers it, and I quote, to provide itself with the means necessary to attain its objectives and carry through its policies, i.e. impose its own taxes. Now, it's in Article 259 of the Lisbon Treaty, which amends Article 269 of either the Rome Treaty or the Maastricht Treaty, or maybe both, but neither of them actually even run to 269 articles. But anyway, having apparently done this, it then creates an Article 311 of a so-called consolidated treaty, which supposedly consolidates all three treaties, but is not itself a treaty. Therefore, it has no legal force. So I give this example to show how easy and how much fun it is to play with the Lisbon Treaty, and how lucrative for future treaty lawyers. But honestly, I have to ask, do Irish citizens really want to surrender ever more sovereignty and make lawmaking easier when the result is even more EU laws than the rate at which they're being produced at present? And that's the third powerful reason to vote no. In Ireland, all the main political parties are united, for once, in urging us to vote yes. I know Sinn Féin is not there. It's not one of them, but I'm saying the major parties. Yet nobody today can any longer put his or her trust in the wisdom of the ruling coalition and the supine opposition, which together have brought this country to the brink of financial ruin with reckless policies and neglect. And if there's one group whose judgment on what's good for Ireland is supremely suspect, it has to be the current political elite. If they say yes, frankly, that's the fourth reason to say no, to vote no. The yes camp are putting out a lot of postcards, pamphlets, websites, print, radio and TV blitzes to explain the unintelligible treaty. And indeed, this time around, at least its unintelligibility is recognized. But we are not voting on these explanations. The explanations are not the treaty. The treaty are the treaty, is the treaty. Moreover, how can we know, and this would apply to the explanations on either side in fairness, but how can we know that these explanations are not simply biased attempts to highlight and embellish the good stuff and obfuscate in some ways the bad? So while I wouldn't say such media campaigns are a reason to vote no, there are also no reason to vote yes. Read the treaty. The treaty is the treaty. Many, many prominent people in Ireland, Brussels and elsewhere are urging us to vote yes. But we need to recognize that many are heavily invested personally in the continued enlargement of EU activity, because that's where their careers lie. With the EU so influential in national lawmaking, legislators will not advance their careers by opposing the EUrocracy, as you might call it. And if you're part of that EUrocracy, or dependent upon it, such as lobbies, lawyers, think tanks, service providers, and so forth, Lisbon's expanded powers can only mean one thing. More work, bigger budgets, massive recruitment, leading to juicy promotional opportunities, not to mention enhanced job security. So, passionate exhortations by heavily self-interested individuals. I don't say that's a reason to vote no, but it's certainly no reason to be persuaded to vote yes. And neither is the yeses frequent, if illogical, equivalence of a Lisbon no with departure from the EU, and we've heard that today. Matter of fact, I put a little slide here. Maybe you can push it up now. Basically, Irish naysayers don't want to leave the EU. We love the EU and the euro just as they are. They've been wonderful for Ireland, so frankly, why do we want to mess with the winning formula? What we don't want to do is expand the EU's powers with untold consequences, nor do we want to create, through an appallingly written document, a treaty lawyer's paradise. The final red herring is the credit crunch. The S side perpetrate whatever it would regard as a calumny that the EU would meet another Irish no with some kind of economic revenge. Of course, some angry Eurocrats may indeed try to block goodies from Ireland's maw. But the EU is not those Brusselsarians. The EU is the 500 million citizens. And of these, we know already that the French, the Dutch, the British and the Germans would reject Lisbon if only given the chance. Commissioner Charlie Creevy has gone further. He's told us that 95% of EU citizens would vote if given the chance, would vote no if given the chance. So a mass plot against Ireland is frankly inconceivable. This empty threat is the fourth non-reason to vote yes. In conclusion, on 2nd of October, I believe that we privileged voters here in Ireland should reject Lisbon in this country's own enlightened self-interest, but also on behalf of the disenfranchised EU half billion. Thank you very much.